Woods, how you doing?
Not bad. Just trying to stay warm, Gregor.
It's a little chilly out there, right?
It is a little bit chilly.
Yeah. You know what? The funny thing is, like, by next week, we'll all be used to minus 20, which sucks, and we'll be like, "Ah, geez, not that bad out." It's crazy. It's
It
absolutely
is
crazy.
that bad, though. I'm telling you, man, it is so, like, difficult. I still am commuting a little bit back and forth to work, and it's cold, Gregor. It is cold, pal.
Now, today, one thing we always talk about, working and training and obviously the physical parts of it, but one element that gets overlooked a lot is our eyes, because if you don't have good vision, it's really hard to be good in virtually any sport that you're playing at that point. Now, obviously, there's great blind athletes in certain sports, but if you're in an active body sport, then you need to have good vision to be successful. Let's, I guess, just start with, the health of our eyes and, for all the guys you've studied with when it comes to athletes, getting them checked to ensure you have the proper vision for the sport you're doing.
Okay, well, let's start with this, Gregor. I mean, just with our kids, generally speaking, we're going to have our kids' eyes checked when they're really young, like 6 months old. And if your doctor sees that there's no problem, clean bill of health, the next time is probably going to be about 3 years of age. And then from there, at age five, when our kids start school, would probably be the next time that they would have their eyes checked. And then every 2 years after that, it's probably important just to help them with learning to make sure that they're seeing and functioning properly, their eyesight, I mean, unless there's risk factors. And some of the risk factors for kids might be like a premature birth, or the mother maybe had an infection, during pregnancy, a family history of eye disease for the kids, or the child has like crossed eyes at birth. There might be some muscular problems there. And then for adults, generally speaking, every 2 years to have their eyes checked, unless, again, there's some risk factors. And for adults, the risk factors might be, again, a family history of eye disease or diabetes or high blood pressure, previous eye injury for an adult, or ongoing medication that an adult might be using that might have some side effects to your eyes. So the important thing there, Gregor, is this. Like, whether it's learning for an adult or a kid, if your eyes are functioning the way that they should, it makes it easier to learn, see things on the board. And as it relates to performance, if your eyes are working well, you can just track activities in your given sport with a lot more effectiveness, and you're going to be better at whatever sport you choose to participate in.
So now let's say you go to your eye doctor, the optometrist. That's obviously a good place to start for corrective eyewear for sports, because I think there's a lot of people that kind of find out a little bit too late that all of a sudden, their vision's limiting their ability. Because you know what? If you don't have great peripheral vision, because I know now at the base in different places, you can actually do activities to improve your peripheral vision, even if you think you have good vision.
Yeah, absolutely you can. So let's start there with like getting the right eyewear. Like if you need a prescription filled out and you need protective eyewear, obviously go to your optometrist. Or you can, if you're manned with the right prescription information, you can go online, and there's a handful of companies in Canada where you can send them your prescription. And like if you need goggles for cycling or for skiing, you can even get like bifocals or a transitional corrective lens built into your ski goggles, which I thought was kind of interesting. And the delivery time on these products is about 2 to 4 weeks in Canada. And depending on the complexity of your prescription, Gregor, it can cost you anywhere from like $150 to $500. So there's lots of options out there to improve your vision for any sport.
Well, and there's eyewear, but there's just also like the vision training, right? Like that's probably when we think of sport advancements, vision training might be one of the biggest ones in the last 10 years.
I would have to agree. And there's some really cool drills. Like if you're to Google this information and you go online, there's some really cool stuff that you can do even with tennis balls. So let's say, for example, that you're a goaltender, Gregor, and you're standing up, you're looking at a wall,
Yep.
maybe 5 or 6 feet away, and I'm behind you as your trainer, and I've got a handful of tennis balls in my hands, and I'm just lobbing them off the wall. You can't see which direction I'm gonna, throw them, but I'm developing little patterns, and then this peripheral vision that you talk about, you'll see the ball out of the corner of your eye, but you've got to make a catch. It is really cool stuff. And as you get better at it, the trainer starts to pick up the cadence of the balls bouncing off the wall. And then the athlete obviously has to respond quite a bit faster to make the catch. So there's some cool stuff. And you're absolutely right. It's probably one of the things that has been a little bit more forefront and a really interesting training methodology that has picked up a little bit of steam in the last few years for sure.
Jeff Woods from Custom Fit joins us. It's now one last one, going back to just kind of the looking at, I guess, the overall health factor of your eyes and everything. But in terms of specific protection for your eyes, what do you think people should be looking for?
That's a good question. Well, a couple of things there. Like, I guess the thing that you should look for is like an ultra strong polycarbonate frame. And I mean this to be better than plastic, Gregor. You can buy some glasses out there that aren't the polycarbonate, and they don't stand up. The polycarbonate is about 10 times more impact resistant than plastic. So it would be really important first to make sure that the frame is built out of that polycarbonate for strength. Then beyond that, if you're going to be doing things outside, like some sort of polarizing lens for outdoor activities so that you don't get like blinded by light. Our eyes can only process so much light. So the polarizing lens stops reflective glare from water or snow, that sort of thing. And it also helps to improve like the depth of field that we see. So the athlete can see bumps and variations in the ground a whole lot easier, so they can navigate around with a polarizing lens, especially if they're working in sunlight. And then the other thing too, like sports that have a higher risk of eye injury, because of impacts. So the worst sports might be like fighting, obviously. Basketball is really bad with elbows. Baseball, hockey is really bad. Things like paintball or racket sports. Squash is really bad where you're in an enclosed court. So those safety glasses should have a mount of rubber on the inside of the glass so that it works as a shock absorber. So if you do get impacted, you're not going to get a cut eye, or even the peripheral area around the eye won't get cut if you've got that rubber secure system. And the glasses, too, Gregor, should also have, for sports, some sort of elastic band to keep them in place, like a just not, you know, the regular arms, because the arms that you would find on a regular piece of glass frame, they wouldn't stand up in sport. You'll lose them, and they can also cut.
Woods, as always, great stuff, man. Stay warm, and maybe you should put on some goggles when you're walking so you don't get any windburn in your eyes.
Well, you know, I do, as a matter of fact, do that. Hey, listen, just before you go, and I just want to tell people, with it being so cold outside, if you're a runner and you're doing stuff out there, because of the extreme cold, you're at risk for frostbite, so take that into account. Consider working out for shorter periods of time when it's this cold, and understand that your muscles don't generate and tolerate the same kind of force when it's this cold. So the training adaptations, it's harder to get positive training adaptations when it's so cold. So maybe just consider a little bit less time for safety.
Interesting. I never even thought about it, because I thought, once you warm up, it'll be the same, but it's harder to stay warm.
That's correct. You just hit it on the head. And one other thing, too, you know, this big myth, and I love to sort of dispel this, but people always worry about lung damage because it's so cold and exercising outside. It's virtually impossible. It doesn't happen. Even at minus 25, once you breathe that air in, by the time that air hits the back of your throat, it's already warmed up to plus 15. So, I mean, I don't want people to be discouraged. In a little bit of cold weather, you can still go out there and exercise, but just be mindful. That's all.
Now, some people say you should have like some sort of coverage over your mouth that helps dull it, but that's not really true either. That's more one of the myths.
Well, I mean, I think for comfort and, you know, anytime, like the colder it gets, all of these adaptations that I talked about, the colder it gets, the harder it is to get adaptations for training outside when it's cold. But obviously the exposed skin, you can get frostbite much quicker. So, I mean, it makes sense to cover up a little bit for sure.
Oh, yeah, frostbite, definitely. Well, it's good stuff as always, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, good, Gregor.